Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Jack, off the top, first and foremost, the most important thing we're going to say today. Wednesday night, June 24th, come hang out with us, Garage Rittenhouse in Philly. Come on, this is the most important thing, right? I mean, let's be honest. Coming out with us, we're going to be in Philly. It's going to be awesome. It's right in Rittenhouse Square, so it's like right in the center of the city. Super easy to find, super easy place to go. It is an awesome spot. We're going to have so much fun. Wednesday night, Phillies, Nationals, big division matchup. Who'd have thunk it? The Nats, all they do is win two games above 500.
Yeah.
So a better game than we would have expected. But please, coming out this Wednesday, we just had a great time in Reading. Shout out to the Reading Fightins. We had so much fun. Shout out to Tanya and Jay and everyone involved. We had such a great time being there. Obviously, first pitch went great. No big deal to us. Jack, a perfect strike. You know, a little natural cut on my ball. No
natural cut and an interesting recoil in watching the video.
Yeah. It's called, and then a little strut off the hill. No big deal to me. It went great. So
what cockiness.
Just winners is what we do. We win. You know. Great time in Reading. We had thank you to everyone who came. It was so much fun. It was awesome.
Yeah. So Reading was awesome. I want to give a special shout out to my man who drove up from Maryland. They drove from Maryland to be there, which was crazy.
Yes.
Awesome father son combo. They were cool. And at the end, I sat next to one of our guys that was keeping the book of the game.
Reading game.
There's nothing that
true warms, blue sicko behavior right there. I love
there's
it.
Nothing that warms my baseball heart quite like seeing someone keeping a book at a baseball game. I've never done it. I don't think I ever would. Frankly. Oh,
so when I've done it a couple times when I was a kid. I like really young though. Like back when I 10 years old, I'm talking, but not since then.
I think the 53 straight perfect books I kept my sophomore year at Bloomsburg was enough bookkeeping for my
Yeah, I think
for
you've done
day.
Enough. You've done enough, yes.
But there's nothing that really just makes me think baseball and makes me love baseball quite like keeping the book at
a minor league game. I mean, that's I was shocked with the minor league minute and how much we talk about on the pod, how many guys I had never heard of in that baseball game. I was like, wow, another guy stepping in the plate who I have no idea who you are. Hello.
So what is what you're saying, that you want more names?
Yes. I think that you need to do a better job of educating us about all these super important people.
Yeah. Well, I did love, we talked to Jake Starr before the game.
Shout out.
And he asked you who you were excited
to watch. It was the funniest thing ever. It was like, bro, you listen to the pod, right? Like, I'm like, everyone, of course.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to just be a part of this awesome baseball experience, you know?
Yeah, you BS'd your way through it. In my head, all I could think about, you probably never played NCAA football on.
It was around a little bit when I stopped playing video games, but not really, not like in the.
Well, they used to have the stadium pulse thing that was the stadium would start shaking if it felt like the pressure was on the opposing team. That's what it felt like watching him ask you that question. I always wanted to step in and be like, Jake, you don't have to. I got it. I know you're trying to do the back and forth thing, but
it was so good.
I'll say some names if you need me to. But no, Reading was awesome. And again, the gift shop just never disappoints.
It's unbelievable.
Two different times. I was like, I can't spend that, but I really wanted to spend it. So baseball. And by the way, you know, not for nothing, as people with kids, they really just crush it with the kids thing.
Oh my God. We spent so much, the bounce house. So loves the bounce house, walked around the stadium, having the best time. Luckily we saw this on the way out, because if she had seen it while we were there, I probably would have gotten coerced to say it. They have like an actual helmet of ice cream. I'm not talking like the little helmet. Zoe got the little helmet of ice cream. They have like a full-sized helmet of ice cream. It was an insane thing to look at. Zoe was beside herself. She was like, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I have to have it.
And the other best part about being Reading that night is that you kept getting updates on your phone with the Phillies just blasting.
So that's where I was going to go. And Jack and I joked about this. He called me. We're driving home. And did you see that Harper hit for the cycle? And of course, he did in the first five innings. Of course. Yeah. And I was like, of course he did. The only podcast that has ever cared about cycles. Like, honestly, like, I don't even care that much about cycles. They're not that big a deal. I'm just saying, let's keep it real. That's what I mean. I care about cycles because of you, because of how much you've cared. The bits on this pod now, since David Bell, it's like multiple times over. Like, that is so gone.
Oh, the dam's been broken.
And then Bryce, and it's Bryce. I mean, the biggest name of all of them. It's like, of course.
This one can stick for a while. I'm glad we don't have to deal with 20 years of Weston Wilson.
Because it was a totally fair cycle. There were no questions about if it was actually a triple or not. It was a stone cold clear triple for Bryce, right?
One of the most ethical cycles I've actually ever seen. And the truth is that he never stopped running to third base.
Oh, by letter of the law. Letter of the law.
Letter of the law would suggest that that is a real tried and true triple.
Yes.
But frankly, guess what? In the books, don't care.
In 50 years, no one will remember. That's for sure.
It's a triple in the book. So it is not as impressive as Bryce Harper's last cycle, which he did at the College of Southern Nevada when he hit for the cycle and hit four home runs in the game. So he's got to step it up a little bit in my personal opinion.
Yeah, the funny thing is, if he had two homers and two doubles, people would be like, oh, nice game from Bryce, because it's a stupid cycle. Everyone's like, oh my God.
It's a stupid cycle.
All right, let's get into the cycle itself. And obviously, we'll get to the weekend and all that. But I mean, like, it's a cycle. It's fine. It was not a triple. We can all be honest. That was a double with a base that he took. Like, they threw it to the wrong base.
They throw it to the right base.
They threw it to the right base to get the out. That's the point. But like, we can all be honest about this, right? Like, that was a double, right?
I don't care.
All right,
it's a cycle of the ball.
All right. That's fine. Thank you. What about Bryce's comments after the game about that he was going for it no matter what, which isn't surprising, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you make of Bryce telling us, I don't care. I don't care what you think about my base running. I'm always going to go for it to set an example for the youngsters. Love Bryce. I think his answer there about, like, I'm always going to go for it. So I'm always going to play hard. Yeah, except when you hit a ground ball to the shortstop and don't feel like running it out, which, again, totally fine with. Don't blow out your hamstring, but, like, little much from Bryce so the kids can always play hard. How about the kids learn to do the smart thing and not be an idiot on the base pass? That was my response to it. But what did you make of Bryce's whole, like, I love the one thing that Bryce Harper drives me crazy with is the base running. It always has. He is a bad base runner. And the fact that he is obnoxious about it annoys me more. Love Bryce. The base running thing, it gets on my nerves, Jack. It's like, he's a bad base runner. And he is like almost flaunts it. And he's like, I don't care that I get out because it's the right thing to do. No, it's not. It's not the right thing to do. Stop it. You're going to hurt your team. You did in a playoff game. Attaboy Harper. Do we remember that? That was because he's a bad base runner.
Oh, that was aggressiveness. I think that I am pro aggression on the base pass. I think that he does it at mostly wrong times. What I'll say is this, since Mattingly has taken over, you know, he had some really dumb, aggressive stuff early in the season, but he hasn't done that really until Saturday. So, like, I don't know why Saturday all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to do the thing where I try to take a second. Now, he always does do that.
And he was always going to go for the triple. And look, they're up 10 runs or whatever, 11 runs when he got the triple. It's not that big a deal.
Care like, that he
I don't either. I don't either. That this specific case, I really don't. Like, that was fine. It was the way he talked about the base running that bothered me. You know, the way he's like, I'm always going to do it. I don't care what you guys think. I don't care if he's basically saying, like, I don't care if it's smart or not. I'm going to do it. And that's like where I'm like, bro, don't. You know, like, don't.
Well, it's if he's saying like, I'm always going to try to be aggressive on the base pass, then I don't.
But he isn't, though. He isn't. He watches home run balls and then sometimes gets caught at second when he could have gotten a third. He doesn't run out every ground ball. Like, I get it, dude. Like, but he is not. He is not. It is like a pick and choose thing.
Well, and what I was going to say is that, like, if Utley was over aggressive, I would be like, okay, well, he runs hard all the time. So that's just part of his, that's part of his MO. You know, Bryce does not run hard all the time. And the infield stuff, I don't care all
that
much.
I don't either.
But here's the thing. I don't mind when Bryce kind of gets like this, because I think that means that he's going at the plate. And like, if he's going at the plate, then the Phillies are going to win and they're going to play. It seemed, in listening to him talk after the game about other things, it seemed like it was all the conversation in the dugout. It's a 12-1 game at that point. And like, people are trying to do this. They love doing this now with him, where it's like, selfish, 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 blah, 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 blah. It's like, seeing him go for that, I think the teammates were like, that's funny. Like, it's funny that he went for that. I don't think he goes for it in a 1-1 game.
I probably agree. I don't know. Like, regular season game, he might have, but like, I don't think he would in a playoff game or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I just,
you never know, though. He has had so many dumb base running decisions in big spots that it's not like, I, who knows? He might just do it. Like, he is an idiot on the base paths.
So if he wants to channel his aggressiveness, use it more, actually run out everything. I think Mattingly said, I think the next night or next pregame availability about, you know, those comments, and essentially said, I appreciate wanting to go for it, but we also have to be smart about it, which is true.
Correct.
And I do think that since Mattingly has taken over, Bryce has been smarter on the base pass. Now, there's been some times with hustle, at least out of the box, that has not been there. But yeah, I mean, I get it, but also he's on fire right now, so I really don't care.
I generally agree. It's more just the built-in hypocrisy of it, the way he talks about it. But I don't really care that much. I just want him to understand, like, and to your point, hopefully he does in those situations. Like, again, it wasn't the him going for the cycle in that spot. It was the way he talked about it after, being like, I'm always going to do this. And it's like, don't always do it. Like, be smart about it. That's all I'm saying. On the whole, look, Bryce is on fire. He had a great, almost had a cycle again the next day. Didn't get the opportunity to try for the triple, I guess. Look, Bryce, the way this team is constructed, and obviously we'll get into it, all of it, and we have gone into it, but they have to have him. Like, Schwarber and Harper have to be great for this team to win. Like, we did the whole thing. Like, we used to push back on that, Jack, and be like, oh, everyone, you know, the other guys got to do stuff too. And that's true. But I feel like this season, it's only amplified that thing, where it really is true. They're just not, they're not good enough without those two guys doing what they're doing. You know, they have to be great,
which is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, especially because Trey isn't, you know.
Yeah, but Marsh is kind of stepping into the Trey spot this year, at least average wise and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I do still push back on it, because I don't think that this is sustainable. I think that it's good for spurts, and they did something that only one other pair of teammates have ever done. And they are, when they're both going, yeah, this team is great. When they are one scuffling or one, like, it's just not sustainable for winning a title. Like, these guys cannot go on a 4-week tear of, like, I mean, maybe.
Well, especially because they'll pitch around them more in the playoffs. We know that. We've seen it happen. We've seen that when you get, first of all, you're getting the best pitchers at all times with everyone locked in, and they just won't give them as much hit. They will say, it's fine, beat us, Alec, beat us, whoever, you know?
Yeah. So it's great what they're doing right now, and it certainly makes for historical fun, what they did the other night and even what they did last night. But it's still, like, it's still something that they need more out of everyone else. Now, the good part is that you're starting to see stabilizing from a lot of members of the offense. You know, Marsh has been pretty consistent all throughout the year. Well, very consistent and only had like spurts of slumps. Bohm is hitting .298 with an .850 OPS since the reset. So that's 38 games, which is crazy how that doesn't feel that long ago, but 38
games.
Yeah,
no, it's going quick.
Stott's
We're
at number
almost three. Halfway through the season. We're a few games away from halfway through the season.
I know. Stotter is hitting 305 in June, and I think like 257 with a 770 something in his last like 40 some games.
There is no team in the history of sports who we do more like picking a date.
Oh yeah. Well,
like this is, yeah, I know, but it's just so funny with the, just because these guys are so streaky. So I just feel like we're always doing the well. Since June
1st. Well, what drives me nuts is like you look at the overall numbers and it's like Bohm's hitting .230.
I know, that's OPS. My point. That's what I'm saying. We always have to do this.
It keeps you sane. Yeah, it keeps you sane.
It does. Yeah.
Because the overall numbers do not tell the whole story. they just don't. It's like what I do with Bryce. And I don't know why people can't grasp this concept that he had a bad first week of the season.
People didn't like your six games tweet.
The lack of critical thinking. I mean, I blame Eagles fans mostly. Like,
oh, good. Eagles that fans starting. Well. I would just like to say I don't blame Eagles fans.
Eagles fans commenting on Phillies players is really one of the biggest problems with baseball coverage in this town.
I think we're getting a real glimpse into how your brain works, right?
Thank
here.
You. I'm starting to call them the Eagles only fans. Oh, so
yeah, good.
So where they have to, you know, dump on Bryce to prop up their little quarterback. So
oh gosh, I don't condone this portion of the podcast.
Well, that's just the truth. If you take out the first six games, the first week of the season, we are how many games into the year? Like I think we're enough sample size in
77 or something. Yeah,
the final 71 games from that point on, he's been. He's almost like a .950 OPS. So people do not like things like that because, like, whoa, but the overall year. And I get it, but I also don't think it tells the whole story. Like, I think Bohm's had a really solid stretch. I think Stott has had a really solid stretch. Crawford is like slowly starting to pull his way out of this. Is not as big of a sample size, but it's a .324 average in his last seven games.
Oh, so, good. I love the 1 week, you know, stats will give me that.
I have stopped doing that as much. I used to
you
be
don't
a big,
do as much. You used to. Yeah, you used to get a lot of 8-game, 7-game, 12-game numbers. You know?
I used to
be
a big, small sample size guy. I know. I also used to tweet a lot of things like this guy's shoving early in a game, he's back, and then he would allow 7 runs in the next inning. So I've really stopped doing that. That was a big old issue with early
Jack.
Birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the offense as a whole is stabilizing. I do have a fear, and it was good to see what they did to Peralta. That was damn near shocking.
Shocking. I mean, 10 earned runs for Freddie Peralta.
Yes. And they were like patient. They worked counts. They grinded out at bats. I just don't. It's so frustrating when they have a game like that, and then against other pitchers that are pretty good to really good, they don't. They just lay down. And even like David Peterson's been horrible this year. I can't believe how bad David Peterson is.
Like, he was great last year.
I loved
it. And he's been good for a while in the relief role and stuff. Like, it felt like a dude who like got out. Shocking.
Yeah,
he doesn't look the same. His stuff doesn't have the same zip. Yeah.
No, and he's like walking the ballpark. It's crazy, but. They went into the game saying, you know, he's got to be in the strike zone and no need to expand and things like that. And they got him out of there early and, you know, tug him for 5 runs. So there's still some good things happening under the hood offensively. It's just like, man, and they can't face good pitchers all the time. But I feel like against good to great pitchers, they just don't. They don't do the same kind of things. So, yeah, they're stabilizing against not the best starting pitching. But
and you're going to see better, likely to see much better starting pitching.
Not to make everything about October. But
it is in a lot of ways. I mean, certain things are. That's something that is about October.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Before we get into more of the nitty gritty, I think we talked a lot about Harbor. We should take a minute or two and talk about what Kyle Schwarber was doing. I mean, stunning. First of all they had to do was move Trey out of the two all again. It's unbelievable. Whoever, you know, just Trey is such a detriment to Schwarber. It's unbelievable. They move him out. Schwarber's hitting home runs again. Schwarber, 29 homers, 4 more than anyone else in the sport. 3 homer game, I believe, is 5th or 6th 3 homer game of his career.
I believe it's fifth. He's one away from tying the all time record. So
sounds about right. The stunning stat going around, 3rd in the history of baseball, first 5 seasons with a team in home runs. It's Babe Ruth 1, Mark McGwire with the Cardinals 2, Kyle Schwarber with the Phillies 3, and Schwarber's going to pass McGwire. Like he is, I don't think he'll pass Ruth, but like we're going to end this year and Kyle Schwarber is going to have the second most home runs in his first 5 seasons with the team ever in the 160 years of baseball, whatever it is. Like he has been really otherworldly. One of the greatest home run hitters of all time in this as a Philly. Kyle Schwarber as a Philly is one of the best home runners in the history of sport. Jack, he's hitting a home run once every 3.25 games as a Philly since he got here. I mean, that's nonsense. That is nonsensical what he's doing. It is amazing. And it's eye test wise. It's tank shots. It's the quick wrist. It's like he pops a ball up and it just keeps going up 5 rows deep. Like it is both on like statistically holds up as an all-time unbelievable power run, but also watching him, it has been every bit of it has felt that way. It's felt special. It feels unique watching him hit. It is, I mean, he's going to get to 500 home runs in a Phillies uniform. He's 131 away. He's going to pass Harper. Like he is, we are seeing some really, truly historically great power stuff from Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, he is. When he connects on some of these baseballs, it's like the most comparable thing to smoking your driver off the tee, because it's the same thing. Like it's just they're dented. These balls are dented. The two hit on Saturday, the first two, like 457, 465. I would have loved to have seen it. If there was no fans or whatever, there's no stadium, how far those balls would have traveled, because they're still rising when they're going into the seats. So he's a marvel. He is,
it's a good word for it. He is a marvel.
He has these games where he just goes nuclear. He's gonna pass Schmidt for most home runs before the All-Star break this year, which is wild.
31 was the number for Schmidt. I thought you were going to say most home runs with the Phillies. I was like, he's probably not going to pass Schmidt for most home runs.
If he does, we might be watching one of the best hitters of all time.
Yeah, he might end up with more career home runs than Schmidt, though. That's on the table, which is wild. Obviously, Schmidt did all of his here. But like, he could hit over 548, which is wild to think about. Like, Kyle Schwarber, when he came here, was like, yeah, he's a good home run hitter. He, again, like, Kyle Schwarber's become a Hall of Famer here, potentially. Like, he still has to get there and, you know, get over 500 and all that. But, like, it is... look, that first Schwarber contract, we probably don't talk about enough, as like that first Wheeler contract is one of the great contracts in the history of the franchise. It is. And again, like, you know, I'm a big sports are supposed to be fun guy. I know it's a wild take and all that, but like there are a few players we've had as a Philly in, you know, the last decade plus, whatever you want to say, that has been as fun really in my lifetime, that had been as fun as Kyle Schwarber. Look, chicks love the long ball. We love the long ball. It's fun to see titanic home runs hit. Like, this guy's a joy. He's such a joy to have on your team, because anytime he steps up, you could be like, you could see a baseball hit like one of only a couple people alive ever can hit it.
I know. And you said it a couple of times. It is just crazy what he is. Turned into what he is.
He was 190 hitter his first year here, Jack.
I know,
like 188 or whatever.
I know, and I thought it was cool. You know, Harper after the game when he was on with Fox. I see people have not played this clip as much, but
you're right. No, it's a fair point. You're right. That's a good call.
Like he started just waxing poetically about Schwarber. He was like, I love going to war with this guy every night. And, you know, the journey from first round pick to world champion to DFA to now one of the premier, if not the premier power hitter in baseball. Like it's cool to see. And it's funny. I texted a couple of buddies this last night. I feel like Harper in the last like 3 days has realized how fun it is having Schwarber here. I think all of a sudden it's a lot more. I see like together in the dugout all the time. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Maybe there's a little like, you know, it's not like there were ever
romance blossoming.
It's not like there was ever animosity, but it feels like there's been an uptick, which is good. And like when both those guys, by the way, it's also funny. If you notice, every single time Schwarber hits a home run, Bryce will swing first pitch no matter mm-hmm, what. I think it's undefeated this year. It's unbelievable. But yeah, he is a treat. He's not slowing down. The wrists are incredibly fast.
Incredible.
And it's one of these things where you have those two doing what they're doing. You have the top two in the rotation. Lizardo's in there as well, but not on the level of the top two. No.
But yeah.
You have the closer, and it's just all you can think about is what direction are they going to go with the trade deadline? Because they have a lot of ingredients, but also they have a lot of holes that they have to try to fill in one deadline, which is going to be really hard because of they're going to protect some prospects. They don't.
And
have,
to your point, like they have more than people say they have, but it's not like they've got loads and loads of people to just trade off, you know, and on top of that, especially when John Middleton was here from 2012 to 2022, like we have to remember, like he experienced that, like he definitely wants to go for it. But at the same time, I don't know that he is going to be willing to completely and totally, you know, pick it dry, you know, because he went through it. And that is like they could be in danger of that. We know that this is an older group that are signed through their late 30s, a lot of them that could age together into that. And like, that's a real risk. And again, you know, winning a World Series makes everything worth it, but you're taking a real risk if you're trading off all your prospects. And if you don't win a World Series and then you head into that, you know, barren time, it's just, I would be surprised if he went that far with the rest Middleton.
Yeah. I don't feel it. I don't think they want to. But at the same time, if they are like, on a rocket ship heading into the trade deadline.
Yeah, if they keep playing, they're at 110 win pace with Mattingly. They're 33-16. It's 110 win pace. So if they keep playing at that for another couple months, it's like or a month and a half, whatever, till the deadline. You know,
it's gonna be hard to. It's gonna be hard to just sit here and say don't do it. As it stands today, I don't think I want to. Because I don't want the cupboard to be bare. Now, on top of all this, it's not like top 100 guys get traded every deadline. Like DeVries
got most don't. Yeah.
Like DeVries got traded last year, but that was for, you know, Mason Miller.
Mason Miller.
I think was Tait. I don't know if Tait was top 100 at the time, but it seemed like
it depends where you look. I think he was top 100 some places, but not others.
The overall point is that it's not like every deadline. It's like here's all these top 100 guys getting shipped out for players. It's usually not that. So I do think they have some guys that they wanted to move them. It's getting tougher and tougher for me to say like we should definitely trade Ramon Marquez and Gage Wood and these guys because they're pitching so well and they look like they could be a part of the future rotation, but it is what it is. That's like,
yeah, well,
like heading into the deadline, if they move those guys, I would sit here and say it is what it is. Like you have to just accept that. Sometimes you got to give that talent up if you have a chance to win a World Series, and this team does have a chance to win the World Series. It would just hurt to give those guys up and lose to the Dodgers, and then you're left there holding the bag. But you can't operate out of fear.
Out of fear,
yes. So
no, I think it's a fascinating point too, especially because, and I don't think they should make any decision based on the fan base, but the way Painter looked and getting sent back down, the injury to Miller, Crawford not being great. Like I already know what's coming. Like the fan base is going to say, trade whoever, we don't care. You should have traded Miller. You should have traded Painter. And they would be silly to give up on those guys this early and to not realize how young they are and all that. But that's the chorus that we're going to hear. I guarantee it. That you should have traded those guys. You didn't. You screwed up. Trade whoever. Like that is going to be the predominant prevailing opinion from Phillies fans. And I'm not saying they're going to do it because that or they should do it. I'm just saying that is going to be the feeling in this city is that the Phillies, I think the majority of the fan base will feel there is an obligation to just go do it and they won't care about what they lose.
Yes, I would agree. I think that the prospect conversation in town is not the It's not the right time to say, hey, I don't want to trade one of these guys or make one of them untouchable.
Yeah.
That does not fly right now, given what's going on with Painter and Crawford. Unfortunately, you know, Aiden's back. So and I think people are also conflicted on the team. I think that they have the best record in baseball since Mattingly took over, which is great. I think there's a level of trust that I don't know if people have in this team heading into October. And it's almost as if they need the trade deadline to decide how in they should be on this team. If they go in, they push their chips in. It's kind of pointless even bringing up Byron Buxton anymore because he really, really does not want to go leave for Minnesota.
But it's wild.
If they push in real trips and go get a difference-making bat, then I think there will be a groundswell of excitement heading into October. If they make an Austin Hayes and Lorenzen this year's version of that, there will be a little bit of a balloon deflating sound, I guess.
I totally agree. And look, Harrison Bader, people might not, maybe not on this pod because we were always Harrison Bader'd up, you know, well before he became a Philly. But I mean, Harrison Bader is kind of an Austin Hayes type move. Like, it's not like they gave up a lot to get Bader. He's not someone but he had the best 2 months of his career here. Like, it doesn't always have to be the big move that turns into the best move. In a lot of cases, it isn't. We talk about the Steve Pierce move so many times for Dombrowski, you know, making that move. And that guy goes on to win World Series MVP for that team. Like, it's not always the biggest and best players that end up being the most important moves that are made at the deadline that help teams win. But you just up your chances when you get guys who are obviously better.
Sure would like to. Well, I love Harrison Bader. This is strictly just prospect hugging, but they trade Henry Mednes for him and he's hitting 330 with a 916 OPS in AAA. So.
Great. That's terrific.
So that
terrific.
Hurts.
All right. We're going to get to the take back in a second. Some more from the weekend through that, but shout out. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the place my wife used to work. Been there so many times. Awesome place. Shout out to the Manayunk Brewing Company on Main Street in Manayunk. Been there so many times. Emily used to wait tables at the Manayunk Brew Pub when she was younger. Awesome place. So today's show is sponsored by Miller at the Manayunk Brewing Company on Main Street. Check out Fireside for every Phillies game and enjoy 16-ounce Miller Lite cans for just $5, along with their fresh rolled sushi and famous bacon cheddar smash burgers. Yes, please. Miller Lights for Phil's win. Celebrate responsibly.
Great little spot on the water, too.
Dude, it's so nice there. I actually love that whole little area there. They've done a nice job with that.
Yeah, Manayunk's cool.
Manayunk East Falls area is cool.
Now, does that count as Philadelphia as a true Philadelphian?
So technically it's Philly for sure. I think it counts. Yeah. It's not like Villanova or whatever. Yeah. Manayunk counts. That's part of the city. It's not downtown, but I would say it's Philly. But yes, I agree. It's not like center city for sure.
It's not center city.
I mean, let's keep it real.
Yeah. Let's keep it real. That's what we do on this podcast. Much realness.
We're a keep it real pod. Really sad.
Kind of nervous about this Nat series.
Dude, frisky as hell, this Nat team. And James Wood, what a monster.
He is a monster. CJ Abrams is great.
Yeah, CJ Abrams, good player. That was a great trade. They got both those guys in that trade, right? Wasn't that the same trade?
Yeah,
the Soto trade.
Robert Hassel hasn't worked out, but that doesn't matter when you get those two.
When you get those two, it's a good trade. I mean,
And they got Mackenzie Gore and turned that into.
Oh yeah, Mackenzie Gore. Probably what a wild. The Padres just trade dudes, man. They really do.
The Padres have one homegrown guy on their roster.
Unbelievable.
It's Jackson Merrill.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
They just trade everyone. And it's not like they have a bad farm system.
They keep building it up. They do a great job of drafting and developing, clearly. Yeah.
Well, Preller's a monster. That's where, I mean, that's what does give me... we talk a lot about, like, the scouting and whatnot with the Phillies. And, like, one thing that gives me hope is, like, Preston did learn under Preller.
He did. Yeah, it's a great point.
You've seen them, at least in the international market, start spending like the Padres do, like instead of their old school way, which is just throw a bunch of money at a bunch of players rather than just spending big money on the upper echelon talent in the international market. But the next thing they got, the draft, they've done a very good job in the first round. I think this draft is the best they've done second through seventh.
The past one, you're saying
this past draft. This
draft is the one that's coming up in 3 weeks, damn it, Jack. Right? We got one coming up. Let's be serious here, okay?
Whoa. And the other thing is that, dude, the draft's not... Baseball has done a lot of things right. The draft being at a Saturday at 1 o'clock is like when the... Didn't the NFL draft used to start on a Saturday at noon, I think?
Like, Yeah.
In like the 80s and 90s?
Yes.
Way back.
Yeah, it did.
This is like the most, are they going to write the picks in on a paper? And it's just crazy. It's a Saturday at 1 o'clock, which is... I will be on the air for it, which will be a lot of fun.
Oh, buddy. Go Birds Radio, take a back seat.
Yeah, we got high hopes. Only draft. We're only talking about the draft for two hours.
Shut my mic off.
No, I'm just kidding. But, well, it's crazy. So they're doing the first four rounds on that Saturday and then 5 through 20 on Sunday. My goodness, we're fitting this into 2 days. Anyway, So the draft is quickly approaching, and I will have to put together the guys I love.
Yeah, we need the whole thing.
People forget that
the guys you could be okay with the take. The guys you'll have to talk yourself into. We know the list. We got to do this whole thing.
I know. And
Andrew Painter famously on the have to be talked into list. Maybe Young Jack was right once upon a time.
I saw him lazily. I think that's a word. Is that a word?
I think so. Yeah, I think
I saw him lazily field a ground ball and throw it to first base. And I was so out. I was so out. And I like what they're doing with Painter. They're not rushing him back on the mound in AAA. I think they're trying to deconstruct and then reconstruct before putting him back out there and making sure he's in a good spot. But yes, the draft is quickly approaching. Very, very exciting. Oh, very exciting.
I can't wait. All right, let's bag it.
Yeah. So the Nats, they have like the best record or one of the best offenses in baseball with a bunch of guys you've never heard of. Curtis Meade is actually
Lyle. They got Lyle and Dylan Lyle. I thought it was Dalen Lyle.
No,
they got so
many
dudes. Lyle. Okay, I don't know. They got
Kiefer Ruiz had a good little run. Meade has had a good run, which is funny.
It's hilarious. Curtis Meade is there. Yeah, I agree.
He's been good. So yes, the Frisky Nats. I'm a little worried about the series. It might be a situation where you're going down there, you live with a split.
So four game series, that is a good point. I don't think people realize that. I would absolutely live with a split. It feels like coming off a big Mets series, they didn't do the thing where they score 15 runs and then not score the next day. Like, they actually had some hits yesterday, both guys homering again yesterday. Those are on a run. It feels like Washington, you know, kind of like, all right, we got now Harper has the Washington thing, so you hope that kind of carries it, keeps him fired up. But I agree with you, it feels like just doesn't feel like they're going to roll down there and roll over the Nats.
Nah, it's not what they do. This team's not roll over.
No, they're not. Yes, you're right.
I don't believe that. Speaking of Bryce, Gelbert, a great story that, you know, all of a sudden he started using a 35 ounce bat, which is.
Oh, yeah. I meant to bring this up. It was cool. Way heavier than he normally uses.
Usually a 31 and a half ouncer, I believe. So. He's now swinging a heavy bat, which it's funny because I think he was frustrated at all the balls that kept dying at the wall. And if he had a little bit of extra weight behind it, they probably get out. So he is going to try the heavy bat. If the heavy bat gets Bryce to be like close to what we've seen over the last two games, then that bat can never be broken. They better order.
Oh yeah, they better pray. Yeah.
A million of them. It could be the new torpedo bat of this year.
Oh yeah,
it is.
Oh, that was a funny thing. The torpedo. I forgot about that. What a stir.
What a run. We thought it was a steroid scandal.
Everyone was like, the game's ruined. The torpedo bats have ruined baseball.
Baseball's dead. It is funny. I mean, you would think in today's age, you would not want a heavier bat because of course.
Look how fast. You kidding me? Yeah.
Throws way harder, but he's got some grown man strength. So encouraging stuff early on the heavy bat. Heavy bat Bryce turning into a problem. You mentioned it earlier, but just to hammer home the point, and I don't know what they do besides, you know, Bryce batting too, but God forbid, is Schwarber's numbers with Bryce hitting behind him versus hitting first with Turner hitting behind him. So it's not perfect, but this is where we're at. When he's batting second this year with Harper behind him, he has an OPS over 1,000. And when he's hitting first with Turner behind him, he's a 716 OPS.
It's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, but it's funny because 247 average hitting first and 259 average hitting second. So the averages are similar. The power is just not even close. So that's something they got to get remedied. I do wish that they would go back to the Marsh leadoff thing against righties, but doesn't seem like that's
one time thing, Jack. Yes. It worked great. Let's never do it again.
Let's never do it again. Let's try. Looks like signs of life. The thing
fine.
You got.
It looks
the thing,
fine.
The thing you got to do with Trey is like, do you really believe he's a 227 hitter this year?
No, so, you want him to be what he was last year. Like, and even not even through a five, like 280, whatever. Just get hits. That's all you want. Don't like you say, you know what? I don't even care if you never hit a home run again. Like, it's nice that you can. Like, I just put the ball in play at this point. Like, that's all I need from you. And run. You're fast. So yeah. He should be an eight hitter. He's like a perfect eight hitter right now.
Yeah. The Turner run's going to happen, though. It's happened every year. 23, okay. It happened after the ovation.
Okay. Look at you. Okay. You're right. You're right.
Hey, so before you get into your little mocking time. All right. Yeah. I am right. After the ovations in 23.
I think I got a little edge here. He's like, yeah. I am. I was right then, and I'm right now. All right.
Post ovations, he was like the best player in baseball.
Prediction.
First half of 24.
We'll just go batting average because whatever. You know, forget the power. I'm just giving you average. What's he batting right now? 227? Is that
227? Yes.
280 over under.
Under. We're shooting for 265.
Okay, that's doable. I could see 265.
265. That is what we are currently shooting for.
Be in on that
for our 300. That'd be very cool. $1 million shortstop. That is exactly what you want. This is, hey, and
265. Don't care about the power. Passable defense. We're rocking and rolling. Yeah.
Seven more years. All right. Seems like Kyle Backus is coming back tonight, which is huge. They need him. I would like for him.
Oh, Jack, would you like to know how much they need him? This is what I said on the morning show today. Tell me if you disagree that Kyle Backus, who is technically not on the roster at this moment, I would trust him more in a big spot against a lefty than anyone else in the bullpen, Jack. How is it possible that they don't have a lefty reliever we could trust this deep into the season? Alvarado, like, yeah, bangs down. Like, I mean, like, this is...
The Tim Mesa erasure. Yeah,
you're right. It's unfair of me to... You're unright. Yeah, Tim Mesa's probably at him, but, like, this is where we're at.
I know. Tim Mesa hasn't allowed a run since May 20th, by the way.
You're right. It was very unfair of me. I should have given the PSAC legend more of a shout.
Thank you. Now, he's not a leverage arm. Could be working his way into a leverage arm, but we'll see. I the last time they tried it, he got blasted.
It didn't go well. Yeah, it didn't go well.
So, yeah.
Now, last time Kyle Backus was on a major league roster, that didn't go well either. So.
That's not true. That's
you're right.
Again,
you had that one outing. You're right. I'm sorry about that.
Kyle Backus was pitching amazing, and then Thompson ran him into the ground. Do you remember this? Thompson, no. Before he got fired.
Vague memories of it. Yeah.
Dude, all right, hold on. He pitched the 25th, the 24th. This is all April. 25th of April, 24th of April, 22nd of April, 20th of April, 19th of April, and then he was hurt.
Like, classic.
Yeah, he ran him into the ground. No, after his first outing, he had a 1.93 ERA. So, nanana boo boo, stick your head in doo doo. Kyle Backus is back, baby. So, he maybe can be a leverage arm. But Alvarado, I believe that lefties are hitting almost 400 off of him, which is
bad.
Not what you want.
No. It's tough.
Yeah. And then last thing before the minor league met is this is a message strictly for, you know, Preston, if he's listening, you know, Brian Barber, if he happens to listen to the podcast. Ken Rosenthal said that the Pirates are entertaining trading their comp pick, their 34th pick, for a reliever. And I don't know who that reliever would be, but if they want Seth Johnson or if they want Alex McFarland, which would hurt.
Oh, baby boy.
The baby boy, if that would hurt, I don't want to go to Bolin because my feeling is like they might ask for Bolin for that pick, and I want
kinda
Bolin
need,
here.
Kind of need Bolin. Like, I don't know that we can afford to get rid of Bolin right now.
And I don't want to get
for too, a draft pick, no less.
I don't want to get too frisky. Saying we should trade Bolin for the 34th pick in the draft. I don't think people would like that, and I wouldn't like it either. But there's an opportunity here to get the 34th pick in the draft, to go to the 36th pick in the draft, and we're going to need to try to take every advantage we can of that situation. And Seth Johnson starting to turn himself into a pretty dang good reliever, up to 100, commanding the strike zone finally. Pirates should definitely take advantage of new Seth Johnson. Or if they want Chase Shugart back. Chase Sugar, they gave us to us for nothing, for pennies. If you want him back, you can have him back. But we're going to need that 34th pick because we got some drafting to do.
Yes, you are talk about
the emergency
the only
podcast
fan out here. Yes, you're the only Phillies fan out here who's like pining for the 34th pick. Everyone else is talking about fixing the major league roster. And Jack's like, I'm just going to take a little away from the major league roster for that draft pick. So could we go with that, everybody? It's good.
I've lost interest in the major league roster. I care about the other rosters.
I get it.
In New
I
York.
I get it. Yes.
And the 2031 Phils, which seems like the 2031 Phils, we've detailed them being a problem.
Yes.
Which they will be. Did you see the photo circulating around social media yesterday on Father's Day? Did you happen to see the photo? Well, it was Nick Kurtz.
Oh, I did see this.
Nick Kurtz was born in 2003, which means the time of that photo, he is consuming like 2016 Phils. That's what he is watching.
2014, maybe somewhere in there. Bad Phillies baseball, no doubt.
That's what he grew up on. I can't wait for Big Amish to be a Philly. If he signs a contract extension in Oakland or Sacramento, Vegas, whatever, it will be one of the most crushing days of my life.
Oh, it'll be so bad for you. Yeah.
He is the new Trout. It works perfectly because Harper will have that last year and then the extension on top of it. He's going to be the DH, and then we're getting the Big Amish. Him, Tomy, as some have said. He basically
told me that's strong. I like that.
I think he has a 450 OBP on the season.
I love it.
He's
awesome.
The best.
He's awesome.
And we're going to need him in pinstripes in 2031. And then the future of the Phils is him, Francisco Renteria, Aiden Miller. I don't hold your back comments. I don't care. Aiden Miller, Gage, Herman Marquez, old Sanchi, old Lazardo. Nola's still here probably because he's never going to leave. Boom. You know, it's just perfect. But the 2031 Phils are really setting up well. So just get – you can probably start ordering your Nick Kurtz jerseys today.
Okay. Today. I like official, it. That seems like an appropriate time to go to the minor league minute. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's hear about those future Phillies.
So Gage pitched well. He allowed a home run in the first on just a hung slider. And he got a little frustrated and animated on the mound. There was a 2-1 pitch that he didn't get called strike, and he's a little mad. The next pitch was blasted. So, but I think he
gotta
is
work on that.
But when he gets pissed, there's like a different level he locks into. He struck out 6 3 innings, and I thought he could have kept going, but they are clearly limiting that. I am interested to see if we start seeing an uptick in innings in case they want to see what he could possibly do going forward. Like, can he handle 4 or 5 innings? I think he can. But it was a good Gage outing. I thought he looked all of his off speed way more, and threw a splitter a couple times, so that was good. The real star of the week is Ramon Marquez, who went to Jersey Shore, 5 innings, 6 Ks, no hits, 1 walk.
Oh, buddy.
57 pitches, easily could get going. He's up like 85 down in Clearwater, 85-90. So there's a lot of good developments in the Jersey Shore.
That's 57 pitches. That's strong work, dude, right there.
He's great. Like, he on any given day, you could ask me who's the better.
You went over Gage. Is this where we're going right now? This is
there's
strong.
A conversation to be had for him over Gage.
I love this. That's great.
The conversation is he's 20. Gage is 22, going to be 23.
Yeah.
There is reliever risk with Gage Wood. There is not reliever risk with Ramon Marquez.
Okay, this is good.
He is a really, really solid pitching prospect. And then the other guy that shoved the Jersey Shore this week was Cody Balcker, who was not pitching that well in Clearwater, but was striking out. He struck out like 72 guys in 45 innings. Mm. He went to Jersey Shore, which is more of a pitcher's ballpark, and he shoved. I think it was 4 innings, 6 Ks, no runs. So looked like the guy that we were dreaming on when they drafted him. Gabe Craig also has gone there and been much better than he was in Clearwater. So I just wonder if Clearwater, kind of not the best pitching ballpark, and and going to Jersey Shore has gotten these guys to what we thought they were going to be when they were drafted. So Gabe Craig hopefully can start moving through. And then the last one is the Francisco Renteria update. for those of you this week. 10 for 21 this week.
Oh, buddy, let's go.
With two homers, a couple doubles in there, and just continues to look the part.
I love him so much. He's so important to me.
When he adds strength, he's going to be a problem.
He's so important to me. I really love him.
Yeah. No, so. he's the top five most important Philly already.
Yeah. We need him. He's so desperately important. All right. Wednesday, I won't do the radio thing. Coming out with us on Wednesday. I won't go through the whole thing again. Please, be nice to see everybody. Anything else? Double to split. That's all we need. Split.
Splitsy.
Split. Two and two. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. We'll be back later in the week. Coming out of garage, Rittenhouse. That's it.
All right.
Pretty great. Thanks everyone who came to Reading. It was really awesome. We really appreciate you. We had a great time. Until then, he's Fritz Seltzer.